this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 22 to 25 today. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Now, I have never had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land or the land of Israel. I'm still hoping someday I might be able to do that. But I've talked to a number of people who have been there, and they share a lot of things that make me even more anxious to maybe visit there someday. How many have ever been to Israel on any trip? Anybody? Okay, Dan was there. Okay, good. The Sea of Galilee, they tell me, is only 5 miles wide and 13 miles long. But it has a history of terrible storms. Now, there's a reason that they are known for having terrible storms, because of where it lays, and also where they are as far as below sea level. The fact is that the Sea of Galilee is 600 feet below sea level. And great storms develop where the cold air and the warm air meet in this, what they call a natural basin. That's what creates these storms when they come. And it can come up quite suddenly. Well, there was a situation just like that as the disciples set out across the Sea of Galilee. After Jesus had finished speaking, we know in what we've already studied in the first 7 chapters of the book of Luke, he was busy and they were busy, very busy. It had been another long day of ministry for Jesus that, of course, began, like many of them usually begin, with a confrontation, usually from the religious but lost leaders of the nation of Israel. And of course, he had to deal with the constant press of the large crowds, which he seemed to draw to himself. So as this day drew to a close, Jesus moved to the stern of the ship that they were in, where I guess we could say, since he took upon himself the form of a man, he collapsed from exhaustion. And he fell asleep. And the disciples, in obedience to his command, hoisted the sail. And they began to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And I think probably another passage where this is recorded in other Gospels, we know that a group of admirers, of course, followed them in other boats. It doesn't always come out in every Gospel. When all of a sudden, this storm, which can happen, we told you, very quickly and suddenly came upon them. Now, Matthew, who records the same account in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24, he says in Matthew uses the word, I don't know if it was chapter 8 in Matthew. I might be wrong on that. But Matthew in his gospel uses the word seismos, which literally means earthquake. Seismograph, you've heard of that and all that. So it was a violent, violent storm. That's how he's describing it. It was almost like an earthquake. So today, with that background, I want you to see some really great principles that I think Jesus will use, not only that would have helped his disciples, but will help you and I when we have to face the storms of life. If we want to put a title to this message today, it would simply be this: there is a purpose in the storms. There is a purpose in the storms. Now, in verses 23 and 24, I think we get our first point here today. Many times, we will face storms in our lives. This wasn't the first or the last storm that the disciples would face. This was a literal storm, but there are other types of storms which we all have experienced in our lives, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Now, as we sit in this comfortable auditorium today, which God has blessed us with and given to us, it's easy to think of good thoughts, and we should, good thoughts about the world around us. Even with all of the trials, the tribulations, and the problems we have in this world, in our country, we are very fortunate. Very, very fortunate to be able to gather here today. Nobody met us at the door with guns and saying, "You can't go in here, we're going to close the place down." You freely walked in. You'll do the same when you walk out and you go home. That's marvelous. And nobody that's carrying a weapon will stop you on the way home unless you're speeding. Then they might stop you, but they won't draw their weapon. So you get the idea. This story in the life of Jesus and his disciples should help us understand that storms do come our way, and they will continue to do so throughout our lives. I guess you could say I hit a little storm this morning when I woke up, all right? You know what I'm talking about. If you ever suffered from a life-threatening disease, and some of you that sit here today have in the past, and you know about the storm. You know about that storm. The once quiet lake of your life, if we can describe it as that, when that disease came into your life, it made that lake filled with waves that tossed you around here and there. When the doctor comes back with a bad report, or you're startled in the late night by a telephone call, "I'm afraid I have some bad news for you." Then the waves begin to beat against the ship you're in on what at one time was a peaceful and quiet lake. That happens. The whole point of the story is that storms happen. And as you and I look back over the storms, not only that we have experienced in our personal lives, but even as a group of believers, whether in this local church or because of the body of Christ, all the local churches around us have experienced storms in the past. But thank God, he's brought us through them. Amen? That's always good to remember too. Now, some of these storms that come into our lives sometimes are because of our own stupidity or sin. That can happen too. Sometimes they are caused by one's own bad decisions. That can happen. They may be caused by the actions of someone else. Could cause a storm. At times, they just seem to happen, and we have no idea why. Just happens. And there it is. But no matter what the storm that comes up in our lives, we can call upon Jesus. We can call upon Jesus. I think of James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "My brethren," now this is a hard one to understand. "My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." I had a friend, I told you this story before, Brother Bill Zimmers, home with the Lord now. When he was preparing to go to Alaska, he was working on an old truck that he had gotten out of a junkyard. But he was going to fix it, put a new motor in it, and he was going to take that to Alaska. And sometimes I'd be up and I'd help him or just stop by for some coffee, and he'd be under there working on this truck, and he'd get frustrated and he'd come out and he'd be waving his hands and jumping around, and he wasn't praising the Lord, if you know what I mean. He wasn't cussing either, but he wasn't happy. And I said, "Oh," and I said this with a smile on my face, "Oh, Brother Bill, maybe you ought to pray that the Lord will give you patience." No, don't do that, don't do that. You know why he was saying that? Because he remembered the verse in James, you know. He lacked a little patience at times. Of course, who here has perfect patience? Raise your hand. I better not see any hands. I don't think I will. We all go through those things, don't we? We need patience, that's for sure. That brings up our second point here. When we are in a storm, we may think that we are out of the will of God. You might get to thinking about that when you don't have any idea why this storm came along in the first place. Perhaps you thought or had been taught that life would be smooth sailing when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You thought with Jesus in the boat, there would be no storm. No unmanageable waves would come your way anymore. And there would be no fear. Well, that's not true. Now, I will say this. There still is contentment and peace that you can have as a Christian, as a believer, when Jesus is on the boat. Now, we're still humans, so you know how that happens. Just like with the disciples, they saw countless miracles and things that were done by Jesus before this event. But for some reason, they forgot about how powerful he was, just like we do. We move along and everything's, you know, going fine, and then all of a sudden, something happens. It puts a little water in the boat, if you understand. Whether our fault, somebody else's fault. And so we develop a little fear. Well, really, you can find a storm right in the middle of God's will. I think of Donald and Karen over in South Africa and that flooding that they had. Now, fortunately, it didn't get in their house, but it was all around them and on their property, and they had to clean up afterwards. It was a mess. They didn't have any water. They had friends that were a few miles away that didn't lose their water, so they could go and get water from them to bring it back for drinking, and they could go there and take their showers there because they had water, but Kilmer's didn't. Now they do. I think they got it back finally. So you can find a storm right in the middle of God's will. Donald and Karen are right where God wants them to be. Every now and then a storm comes up. Notice that the disciples were in the midst of a storm, not because they had disobeyed God, but because they had obeyed God. Jesus, who is God, said, "Let's go. We're going to cross this sea today." So, right in the middle of obeying what God had told them to do. Then all of a sudden, like we said earlier, after they had seen all of the power of God in the miracles and the healings and everything over the past number of chapters that are recorded in the book of Luke, fear came over the disciples. And I guess mainly you can say, and the same for us, they did not trust Jesus' words. They did not trust Jesus' words. If they had just thought for a moment, they would have remembered that he said in verse 33, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." He didn't say, Let's cross over halfway and then almost drown. Let's cross over halfway and I'm going to give you a thrill you haven't had for a while. He didn't say that. He said, let's cross over to the other side. It's just like here. Waves come, storms come. Sometimes they are handled well, sometimes they're not. But regardless, God has this place here for a reason. And as long as we serve Him for the right reason and try to please Him and not just everybody else, this place will be here till He comes. It'll stay here. Now, Satan likes to get busy every now and then. And unfortunately, since we're humans, sometimes we'd rather listen to his little whispers instead of the quiet voice of God's Holy Spirit within each and every one of us. That happens. We're not perfect. Well, even though the disciples had no way of knowing it during those terrible moments, that storm, I believe, was divinely appointed by God as a vehicle to teach them about God's power in their lives. God's power in their lives. Without difficulties, without trials, without stresses, and without even failures, we would never grow to be what the Lord wants us to become. That's hard to understand sometimes. It really is. There's a saying, it's not original with me, it's short, but yet I think it's to the point. You might have to think about it once or twice before you get it, but listen to this statement. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. Let me say it again. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. There it is. Point number three in our outline. When we are in a storm, we may think that God doesn't care. Now, I know them thoughts never came to your mind. But remember, we're in these human bodies. And especially if you go through one trial, a little bit of a break in the storm, and then another trial, you get to thinking, man, does God really care? God, do you know I'm here? Do you see what's going on here, Lord? And just like we referred to, what was it, Psalm 72, where the writer of that psalm said, look at this, all these things going around. The people that don't serve you, it seems like everything's going fine for them, and here we are, we're getting beat up every day. Lord, don't you see this? And then he finally realized at the end of that psalm, Lord, that's your business. You're in control. You'll take care of it. I know they got their time coming. Thank you for meeting my needs, even in the middle of this turmoil and this disaster. And he does. So while these seasoned sailors, and by the way, they were. Do you think this is the first storm they ever encountered? No way. If they did fishing for a living, this wasn't the first storm they encountered. But these seasoned sailors all of a sudden panicked because of the intensity of this storm. And Jesus was fast asleep in the boat. Fast asleep. And it almost would come across like, yeah, there they are fighting this, about ready to drown. And look, he's sleeping. Does he even care? Is he even concerned about this? Not knowing that I believe he was instrumental in making sure that storm appeared at that time to teach a lesson, not only to them, to us. God has never promised our lives to be empty of pain, disappointment, or storms. Never promised us that. Anyone who tells you otherwise is not getting their information from the Bible. Well, these disciples just knew, from the human perspective, they just knew that the next wave was going to take them to the bottom. They knew that was going to happen. And in a state of panic, the disciples approached the sleeping Jesus and shouted to be heard above the winds, I'm sure. Lord, save us, or we perish. Well, that kind of covers our fourth point, doesn't it? When we are in a storm, we may react in fear rather than faith. In our text from Luke, they are recorded as having said, Master, Master, we are perishing. That almost seems to be an imminent statement of doom, doesn't it? In Mark, the record is that they say, Teacher, don't you care that we perish? And of course, Jesus in chapter 4, verse 38, seems to be a rebuke of Jesus' lack of action. In other words, they're saying, what's the matter? You know, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything at all. So faith, their faith was paralyzed with what? Fear. That's another thing the devil likes to do. He likes to paralyze your faith with fear. That's what he likes to do. He's busy at that. We've seen that happen throughout the existence of this church and even in our lives. Fear's like an anchor. It'll stop you dead in the water. They made too much of the problem and too little of God's provision, but he can always provide. Another statement that certainly is not original with me, it's this. Fear maximizes the problem and minimizes God's provision and presence. Let me say it again. Fear maximizes the problem and minimizes God's provision and presence. Does he not tell us in this day and age in which we live, 2022, I will never leave you or forsake you? And he gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us to take until he takes us home to be with him for eternity. Amen? Do we believe it? There are times we don't. And we let fear take over. And we forget the promise that God makes that he will always keep. He never fails us. He never fails us. Brings us to point number 5. When we are in a storm, we need to remember to cry out to the Father. We need to remember, cry out to the Father. He doesn't mind that a bit. To cry out is to assume that there is a God who cares. And not only cares, but acts. You say, well, wait a minute, what about Paul? He didn't act there. Yeah, he did. He didn't heal him of whatever Satan's thorn was in his side, but he gave him the grace to bear it and to go through it. And we still talk about Paul and his ministry and one of the greatest missionary evangelists that ever lived. And it's a whole lot down the road from when he did it. And we still remember him. Why? Because God gave him grace to continue and he didn't quit. He didn't quit. When a storm comes and they come, nothing you can do about it. But God of the universe can do something about it. Either stop it or help you to go through it. But he's there for us. How about what the psalmist says in Psalm 107? Let's turn to that, if you would, please. Psalm 107. Let's look at verse 24. Psalm 107, verse 24. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So we prepared haven. Remember what he told them when he started out? Let's go to the other side. Didn't say all that other stuff. What's going to happen in the middle? We're going to the other side. You and I are going to the other side one day. Could be before this service is over. Could be we'll meet him in the air before we say another word. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That would be great. That would be wonderful. Number six, when in a storm, faith will keep you from being afraid. Let me say it again. When in a storm, faith will keep you from being afraid. Verses 24 and 25. Jesus, who is unconcerned about the storm, the wind, the waves, and the raging sea, what is he concerned about? He's concerned more about the frightened disciples. That's what's bothering him. He's concerned about the frightened disciples, the one who have ventured forth in the boat. The storm was necessary. We said it at the beginning. The storm was necessary for the spiritual development of the disciples. And so would the coming calm be there for them too. We'll get to that in a minute. At their cry, and believe me, if it was a storm like I can imagine, they had to holler at him to get him awake. And so he arose from his sleep. He rebuked the waves and the winds. And there was immediate calm. That's significant. There was immediate calm. Jesus not only cares, but acts and saves. It's always been the case. I remember the day I crawled out to him, Lord, save me. My wife at the time probably thought I was half crazy. I just got her awake from a sound sleep and half drug her down the steps to kneel down at the couch in my living room and ask Jesus Christ to save me. And I've been insane ever since. How about you? According to the world, you are anyway. You know, you're foolish and nuts. I want you to notice with me how easily in these verses that Jesus overcame the storm. First, notice that Jesus, by a word of command, brings the entire forces of nature into subjection to himself. No other way to put it. He speaks and it is done. It is done. Second, notice how effectively it was done. It says there was a great calm. There was a great calm. All three of the Gospels where this story is recorded, this is a second miracle when you think about it. That's a second miracle. Not only did the storm cease, but this, that's a miracle right there. And that sometimes never been a storm 2 minutes ago. We disappoint the Lord when we give in to fear. First part of verse 12. Disturbed him. Sometimes he asks us the same thing. Sometimes when the storm comes, we want to dwell too much on the storm and what happened and not move on. And we need to. Although their fear, I think, would be natural as far as a human being is concerned, they had no excuse for their lack of faith. And the same thing can happen to us. Now, we studied about them for the first 7 chapters in the book of Luke. And man, when we read some of those things, people being raised from the dead and people seeing and being healed, man, that would be enough to excite you. But so many times, when God allows us on a mountaintop, and then we start down into the valley, we forget the mountaintop experience and what he did. And we got to remember, hey, he's still on the throne. He's still here. Let's just take the next step and do what he asked us to do and see how it comes out on the other side. And keep that faith. Keep growing in the Lord. Disappointments come into our lives. If you're going to dwell on it, it'll destroy you. Allow him to pick you up and put you back on the path and continue on your journey. Although their fear was natural, they had no excuse for their lack of faith. Now, I can imagine by now they're kind of dazed. I think I would have been at that time, dazed. They looked around trying to understand what just happened. What just happened? The fact it comes through like that. You know, what just happened? What? How powerful is this man? Powerful. Powerful. Controls the storms. Their fear of the storm was replaced by a new fear. When you read that passage, what Jesus had done was even more startling than the life-threatening storm itself. Now think about that for a minute. The story begins with the disciples terrorized by the winds. The winds and the waves. The story ends with the disciples terrorized by the intervention of Jesus. Isn't that strange? We're kind of laughing and smiling, but there's times we're probably thinking in our minds now, yeah, I think I did that once or twice. Yeah. It is the crisis of life that reveals our faith. It is such times that we face a threefold challenge. When we come to a storm, we face a threefold challenge. You know what it is? We can worry, work, or trust God, Jesus. There it is. Worry, work, or trust. Jesus longs for us to put our trust in him. In him, the only one who can take us through the storm, not around it, but through it. He will do it every time when we realize he can. You can't do anything about it, but he can, and he will. Like I said earlier, sitting in the office hearing the chatter out here, the greeting one another. Walk out and see ladies hugging each other. Just rejoicing, shaking hands, smiles on the faces. It's always a good way to start church, isn't it? Good way to start church. God's good, amen? Amen. And might be a little calm now. And get ready. There'll be a storm somewhere down the road. And God will bring us through that and into the calm like he always does. Amen? Let's remember it. Let's pray.